This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this crazy little show.
Oh, man. Zach, what is this crazy little show called?
What is it, Zach?
No Bad Ideas.
The way you said that
makes me think this is a bad idea.
Yeah, a bad idea, maybe. It might be.
Makes me think that I've been lured into this basement for something that is not entirely on the level.
We have so much time in this basement that if, like, we were going to get axe murdered, it would have happened by now.
If it's unclear for the listeners, we are broadcasting from a basement in Bushwick. This is my home studio, and it's a delight to have you all here.
And it's a delight to be here, Zach. And if it's unclear for some listeners, maybe we should talk about who we are.
Yeah.
In this basement.
Let's do that. Hi, Mom. I'm Zach Valenti. I make media. I make weird gadgets. And sometimes I talk about mindfulness and mental health.
Nice. I'm Gabriel Urbina. I'm a writer and director, mostly work in audio dramas, nowadays branching out into some new and different forms of writing, maybe? Who knows?
We shall see. My name is Sarah Shackett. I am also a writer who has worked mostly in audio dramas as well with Mr. Urbina and Mr. Valenti, and sometimes do a little nonfiction writing and other fun things.
And if you found us, you are probably at least passingly familiar with some of our work.
We did this little sci-fi show that could called Wolf 359.
And that was a lot of fun.
Like, it was years. A lot of fun.
Yep.
Great, great time.
We also just made a podcast miniseries called Time Bombs.
Yep. That was... Is that your impression of a time bomb?
Well,
that is what happened to us.
While we made it in just a week.
Yep.
Yes.
That was insane.
Challenge that we did.
I guess we'll put links to all these things in the show notes, I guess.
If we feel like it.
The mystical show notes.
Yeah.
People might also want to do it themselves.
People don't want to have things shown to them
on the show notes. They want to feel like they're in charge of their lives. They want to feel like they're going on mystical quests to find content, which will feel like amazing rewards.
They want to not read.
Yeah.
Mystical.
That's why you listen to a bunch of writers and artists.
That's right.
To not read.
No, actually, guys, we'll put all that stuff in the show notes. Don't worry. We got you covered.
I don't know. Mystical content quest sounds pretty good.
But all right. Almost made it through that.
Just like the juxtaposition of mystical and content just was funny to me, and I don't know why.
Okay, I'm going to power us through to see if we can actually get to what this new show that we're doing
is
instead of blabbering on about other things that we've done in the past. So, Zach, hang on a second. So why have we, as we previously established, convened here in your delightful safe space of a basement to do a new show, which we are calling, what are we doing this? What is it called once more time?
One more time. This is the No Bad Ideas podcast. And basically, we started this show because creativity is hard. And words are hard. And I think as writers, you know, we've been developing things and in the trenches ever since we completed Wolf back last December. And that's been awesome. It's been super fun and great. And I think the reason that we wanted to make Time Bombs was we were feeling a little bit bottled up in the basement, as it were.
I think we were all feeling like, even though this has been a really good year for us creatively, it has been a very lonely and very private
year. There's been like
year.
A lot of things to show.
Yeah.
And like we got to do the podcast we've been working on with Blockstack, the Internet 3.0, which was super fun. And it's just like a different animal doing like nonfiction storytelling versus fiction storytelling.
Definitely.
So I think the idea with this show was to create a structure for us to like individual, just like, not paying attention to the audience at all. There's like a selfish component of we wanted time and space to come and pitch each other stories and just like hone our craft in real time in an easy, convenient, fun way that then also might be hopefully entertaining for the folks at home.
And also a chance for us to kind of talk a little bit about what is going on in our lives creatively, talk a little bit about what challenges we're working through, get each other's opinions.
Yeah.
Maybe if people want to write in someday, we'll have a little bit of a like question and answer section where we can talk a little bit about people's various, you know, concerns and thoughts about the writing process and about the creative process. But in the meantime, we'll get to hang out with one another and do some, you know, fun creative exercises.
That's the idea. And none of them are bad.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
So how are we going to come up with bad and or not bad ideas, you guys?
No, but Sarah, there are no bad ideas. Zach okay. just explained this to me a second ago.
and
it sounds really suspect, but look at this man's face. How can he,
you know,
could he tell a lie?
They're listening to this on the internet. There's nothing wrong on the internet.
Yeah, guys, this is on the radio. Just remember, if you've never seen Zach's face, he has such an honest face.
It's very open,
yes. So open. Incredibly honest. So we thought that we would get together once a week and play a game, which at least for the time being until we come up with a better title, we're tentatively calling So Here's an Idea, where one of us brings to the other two a honestly pretty terrible idea. Just like something that makes you go, wow.
What? You think about your anxiety about having ideas, and then you're like, that was silly.
Right.
Right.
There's so many worse ones out there. I don't need to worry about myself.
Right. We're going to be searching through the compendium of the worst ideas that people have had in history. And we're going to be bringing these to each other, and we're going to go, here's an idea. Please turn it into a good story. Let's spend half an hour talking through how we would turn this honestly, frankly, terrible idea. And we're going to bring it to a good idea. We're going to show that there really is no such thing as an idea that is without value or without like some interesting grain of something
that you can pull from it.
Exactly.
And to be clear, the person who finds a horrible idea on the internet, as hard as that is to do.
As the person that brought the idea today, it took me weeks of hard labor.
It did not take you 5 minutes. Not while we at were all. Standing up. The other two people, have they heard that idea before? Do they know what's in store for them?
No. I think we'll hopefully be very clear from their reaction when I read
this thing
that I have summoned up from the internet.
Yeah, you started smiling and I started getting very unsettled because I have no idea what your idea is.
So that is what we're about to do now. I'm going to inflict the thing that I found onto Zach and Sarah. And after that, they are going to have 30 minutes to turn it into a good idea. And I will occasionally step in to offer suggestions or to stir the pot, more likely to heckle and ask
pointed
questions.
What I'm hoping for.
And we'll see how far we can get in 30 minutes of turning a bad idea into a not bad idea.
And I think the thing that we're going to maybe discover is that the content is like, you know, sort of the what we're talking about is way less important when it comes to storytelling than the way we tell it.
Absolutely.
And I'm ready to be wrong.
All right.
On that note.
Okay. All right. Are you guys ready?
No.
No.
All right. Well, we're going to do this anyway.
Hooray.
Okay. So today's bad idea candidate is, you may or may not be surprised to learn, a Craigslist ad that I found.
Oh, goodness.
And it is called, the title of this Craigslist ad Free Death Ray Parts.
I'm sorry. Free Death Ray Parts.
Correct.
I've not seen this movie. Ray. It's called Safety Not Guaranteed. Continue.
Oh, man.
Okay, ready? All right, so on to the actual article. And by the way, if you're listening to this, there will be a link to this Craigslist article in our show notes.
Oh, jeez.
So you can read along if you'd like, and you can look at the pictures of the free Death Ray parts.
There are pictures. All right. I'm going to need to see the pictures later.
Here we go with the actual article, or the actual ad listing on Craigslist. Do you have a science degree? Do you think that the world would be better if you could just be in charge? Do you want to show those fools at the Academy? I am listing a small selection of Death Ray, mm-hmm. Death Ray in caps, parts as a service to the junior members of the mad science community.
Uh-huh.
This includes a high voltage power supply suitable for Gauss cannon, Tesla coils, or even just Jacob's ladder's use.
Man.
Three vacuum tubes with emitters rated for soft x-rays. Mm-hmm. No guarantee of safety made when pumped to hard x-ray levels. But then, is there ever? And a Fresnel lens approximately 60 inches corner to corner, suitable for solar melting of asphalt, mm-hmm. aluminum, and the skulls of your enemies.
What?
All of this is free for pickup. It's uh-huh. all in one convenient 450-pound package.
Uh-huh.
A Panasonic PT6G53. Yes, the TV functionality is fine. And until recently, I was using it as a second monitor attached to one of my command station computers.
Amazing.
However, times change. Plasma TVs go on discount. And you can pick up this attractive bundle of parts for a low price of free. Please bring minions. It is seriously very heavy.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Wow. Well.
Somebody, this is a monitor. This is like a TV.
So what is eventually ultimately revealed is that they
the
are simply selling
a very heavy TV.
Yes. Yeah.
No, but and I have friends who have done this, have like had sort of out of date equipment, but presented it on Craigslist in a way that might make it more appealing.
Yes. Right.
To the right set.
But all right, so I'm an executive. I read this, and I thought this is the best writing that I have seen in months.
Well, he mentions an academy, so...
I got together my two crack writers here, and they're going to turn into a great story, and they have 30 minutes starting now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, damn.
What do you think, Zach?
So just to, like, let's go over some of the elements here.
Right, right. My mind immediately went to Dr. Horrible, sing along.
Right, no, I had that thought of, like, this the Dr. Horrible 2 that we've been promised long?
Like, my question is, why does this person want to get out of the Death Ray game? Or, you know, why is he...
I mean, eventually he reveals that it was part of his... command center, but can no longer be.
Right.
So my guess is that he, like anyone who has the Academy in their sights, has lost funding. Maybe.
I mean, the recession hit all of us.
It did. And, you know, a lot of this stuff that used to be private in terms of security is now being operated by the government, and some of us can't get clearance, you know?
I see.
I don't know. This is making me think about, like mad scientist who, you know, just is really looking to scale their evil.
Sure.
And it's just making me think about, like, that whole, like, 3D printed gun thing that's happening mm-hmm. now where people are able to like print these like things just in there, you know, just it
right.
makes like
just
regulation
if,
like
if they
incredibly...
have the plans they can just print a gun,
right? So yeah. I'm just like this is like the Death Ray version of that.
Right,
like, this just takes
and this
it
is
to like that place,
the absolute extreme of, you know, free men in a free society should be able to have their own death rays.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, what else would civilization be?
I mean, are you safe unless everybody has a death ray?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
But to bring it back.
Right, I feel that you may be coming on to there. Like, I feel that, like, to death ray or not to death ray, a, like... you know, parable of
who
safety.
Thought it was a question.
That may not turn out as well as
no.
you could. But Sarah, you were going to bring it back to something.
I was going to bring it back to, I guess the first thing we should nail down whether his motives are to spread death rays throughout the United States or
just get rid of one.
Or just get rid of the one that he has that, you know, he doesn't need for some reason.
Right.
Or if he has some sort of... desire or wish to mentor young mad scientists,
right.
which was the other thought I had.
So it's a little bit of like the fork between I am, yeah, trying to, like, help everyone. Like, you know, everyone should... The mad scientist community shouldn't just be for, like, the gated, privileged
There shouldn't be no gatekeepers to mad science.
Death ray is for everyone.
You still have to have a science degree, I suppose he
says. I suppose, yes.
But, you know, you can get those on Coursera, right?
I like the limitation of one death ray.
Sure.
Yeah. And not, like, this, like, many, many death ray scenarios.
Right. Sure.
I like the idea if he's, like, lonely. And he just wants a Padawan, but he's not a good enough mad scientist to get one on his own steam. So he's got to like sweeten the deal with his old shit. Really?
Yes.
I haven't seen this.
Oh, you should. It's
such a good movie.
It is really such a good
safety
movie.
Not guaranteed is great.
Yeah. No. Aubrey Plaza, Mark Duplass.
Oh damn!
I think it was like an actual headline. And then they turned it into a script.
It was a similar sort of thing where someone wrote up an ad for time travel, like time traveler looking for a companion, safety not guaranteed on like initial time machine journey.
Right. And film is about a sort of a young woman and
this is getting really meta, you guys.
Yeah. who's an intern for a reporter who goes to check out the weird dude who lives in the woods who has a time machine. I will not spoil what happens.
This is also a really good use of the 25 minutes that we have remaining.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
I like that movie. But yes,
it's a good movie.
That is a case where sort of the person with the weird steampunk sci-fi device secretly is lonely.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is not to say we can't do it with death rays. I think someone who wants to travel through time has different motivations than someone who has a command center and some death ray parts.
Yeah. There's also like, I mean, they talk about minions and they talk about command centers.
They do.
So there seems to be like an infrastructure around the mad scientist community.
Right.
So is it sort of one of those matters of like, oh, you know, like I would hang out with like minion number two, but they just don't understand.
Yeah.
Like it's not the same if you don't live the pressures.
Right. It's, you know, you want to meet a fellow traveler, right?
Yes. So are we writing a mad scientist rom-com here? Like, what genre are we leaning towards?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to figure out whether, like, this is just trying to engineer a meet-cute.
Uh-huh.
Or whether, like, you show up to take the death ray parts and they're, like, tagged and now suddenly...
Oh, it could be a sting operation.
Yeah.
I see. This could be like an enterprising, you know, FBI agent.
Right.
Just trying to really curb.
Who maybe gets too close.
They're in too deep.
Right.
Right.
So then you've got sort of one of those like, now it's almost like a catch me if you can maybe sort of a situation.
Yeah, or to pick a worse movie, Point Break.
Oh, man.
I will not sit here and let you say a single bad thing about Point Break. That movie is perfect.
Is that the one with Keanu Reeves?
Yes, it is.
Oh, man.
The perfect one with Keanu Reeves.
I can't convey the side eye I'm giving you on the radio, unfortunately.
I'm here to tell you there is no side eye. Sarah is looking at me with a look of acceptance and serenity.
Yes, definitely that.
I want to get your glasses checked. Real.
In any case,
Zach, stop betraying me to the audience.
I mean, what do you think, Zach? Are we moving towards sort of a romance movie or more sort of a thriller action-y vibe?
Well, so I think my question is, who are we more centered around? The mad scientist giving the thing away,
mm-hmm.
the young upshot that's like, you know, upstart that's like seeking out said death ray parts,
sure,
or the like, you know, other
secret
sort
society
of part,
that like, sort of this or, world exists within,
right? Or the government that's like looking to like stop this, like, yeah, you know, rampant arms trade on Craigslist.
Somebody needs to do something about the like plague of death rays in our community.
So I think like sort of focusing on the protagonist, would be a helpful exercise.
And the protagonist is the man that is giving the death ray away.
Well, that's a question.
That's the question you just asked, whether the protagonist should be the gentleman with the death ray parts, the person who is seeking death ray parts, or some sort of facet of the world.
Because, like, I'm just looking at my, like, DVD shelf, and I'm like, you know, Cowboy Bebop, like, you know, stands out, and I can see the world built, or you know, sort of like more of like a space Western sort of like aesthetic of like, we are tracking with somebody who's like, shucks, my death ray part burned out. Man, where are we going to get one?
This is old. This is useful. Zach Valenti, answer me honestly. Which Cowboy Bebop character would you like to see on a solo adventure? Jet, Ed, Faye, or... No, those are actually kind of the three analogs we've been talking about. Give me one of those.
For anyone that hasn't seen Cowboy Bebop, go watch Cowboy Bebop. Yeah. It's really good.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, do not wait. One more time.
No, which of these three would you rather follow on a solo adventure? Uh-huh. Jet, Faye, or Ed?
I mean, personally, Ed.
Okay.
Jet is the...
He's the protagonist.
Yeah, okay. I guess...
No, 1 second. Spike is
the protagonist. Oh, no, Spike,
right. I'm sorry. Right.
Jet is the former cop.
That's who I was picturing. I feel like his plots aren't as fun, and Ed is hilarious. But I feel like in this world, like, somebody more like Ed would be the mad scientist that's like...
Oh, interesting, because I'm like, Ed's the upstart.
Right, they could be, but they could also be older than they are in the show and be that weird. And let me
throw a stone into the pond, and these might be helpful ripples.
Sure, sure.
Are we in a world where the mad scientist community is open and present? And, you know, and it's... Kind of like living in the Marvel Cinematic Universe where everybody knows these guys are around everywhere.
I mean, I think it would have to be if it's on Craigslist, unless it's just like this bonkers, strange thing.
Right.
Well, the ad doesn't have to be on Craigslist. It can be somewhere on the dark web.
Or it could be on Mad Scientist Weekly.
Yes.
That very, accepted publication.
Yes, indeed. That's presented by people in cowboy hats.
That's right.
I'm just thinking, like, what would I want to watch?
Yeah.
And I feel like... If it's going to be like an animated family movie, then like that's a more fun direction where it's just like out in the open.
Uh-huh.
Oh man, there was this movie on Netflix that sort of like recently, it was a little bit like that Hero number movie, Hero 6.
Big Hero 6.
It was like a little bit like that, but it was more targeting like Apple. I forget. But yeah, like if it's like a family animated film,
sure.
I think that would take it into one direction where it's like a little bit more like, oh, this is just a world of mad scientists versus like a like live action, more adult picture, which then it's like, ooh, seedy underworld is like a little bit more.
Right, or actually crazy people.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have do you fancy one of those two directions?
I mean, I always fancy a world where mad scientists are walking around.
Great.
So let's, for the sake of time, just say that this is sort of a fun adventure, treasure planet-y world where the Mad Scientist Guild is out and active, and there are also renegades who maybe were kicked out of the guild and the academy that supports it and are freelancing on their own as well.
Okay, and just to be clear here, in this case, it's like there's the... The Academy is like the licensed mad scientist.
Right.
And then there are the like rogue.
And then there are mad scientists.
these are two separate.
Because if you have an academy, then you obviously have people who are too extreme for the academy.
I guess. Okay, cool. Great. So this person that is trying to give the death ray parts away is a member of the rogue class.
Who is not a member of the
Ivory Tower?
Right. Read the beginning of the ad again. What did he actually say? I may be extrapolating.
No, I think you're extrapolating the correct amount. Okay. Free death ray parts.
Yeah.
Do you have a science degree? Do you think the world would be better if you could just be in charge? Do you want to show those fools at the academy? That's the intro to the ad.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, man. This is getting clearer now. I think. Yeah, definitely, like, in a world where mad scientists are everywhere.
20 minutes. Bless you.
Excuse me. I was allergic to that corn. Sorry. Oof.
No, but we are living in a world where all sorts of mad science is possible and happening and out in the open, and I imagine has affected society in significant ways.
Right.
And there are elements in this world that think things would be better if those fools at the Academy
were shown.
Right.
Yep.
And if shortcuts were taken, and if the old regulations were not adhered to anymore because they're useless.
You just got to slice through that red tape.
I know, man.
Yep.
And so that is the worldview of our parts giver aware.
Yes.
Okay, so, but like, what does one do with a death ray once one has it?
I mean.
I think it's good for one. I think it has one job.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've seen Kill Bill.
I'd like to say you could use it to heat up your burrito.
Wait, let's go back to your burrito for one second. But like, was there like a radically different director's cut of Kill Bill? Because I don't remember the death ray.
Being a death ray, yeah, that's true.
If he hadn't wasted so much money shooting in China, there would have been one.
Cool.
Anyway,
great. Let's come back to the burrito heating, please. Let's hit the unpause button on the burrito heat.
Yes. Well, I guess I can imagine that if you put food near the ray, the active death ray, it won't kill your food. It will warm it. I imagine
because the food's already dead.
That and the death ray is hot, but that may be a fallacy.
Wait. Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, what if it's...
Oh my God, guys, I have a name for a movie.
What death if it's rays metaphorical death?
Or like hot.
Or like, you know, you die, but like in a spiritual sense. What if it's a ray that like totally cripples you for life and makes you realize you've thrown away your shot?
Oh, man.
No, I remind
that's
you.
That's pretty dark.
I remind you that one of the pieces that they describe in the ad is suitable for solar melting of asphalt, aluminium,
and also
the skulls of your enemies.
There's also
so
enough,
I think that like the heat is brought.
And like you could use, didn't they mention like a Gaussian cannon and stuff? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is destructive, hot, and violent.
All right. Fair enough. But like, okay, but as you're heating your burrito, I guess you got to point it somewhere. Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, Zach, I interrupted you.
Go ahead. No, that's all right. I think we've just established that the death ray is for killing.
What if like sunshine style, it's like being used to heat something like the core of the earth or a star that's dying or something?
Wait. I like that. So it's like, you know, there's some big global catastrophe.
Right.
And the fools at the Academy.
Right, the UN response is insufficient.
Yeah, they realize that like the only thing that might possibly prevent this weather, sun going out, whatever the event is the death ray that is in possession of our mad scientist friend. And then it's like, well, look who needs whose help now.
Right, but he absolutely doesn't want, or she or they or whatever, they don't want to sell the death ray back. those fools.
No, and you know what the problem might be?
Yeah.
That maybe years earlier they gave away these critical components of their death ray in the TV, and they don't want to admit
that they have it.
That they don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
And so they need to go find the like person that they gave away their like, you know, death ray materials to.
Right. And then like trap them and recruit them to work on the problem.
I see.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. So this world is getting weirder and weirder because it's now just not only a world where there are licensed mad scientists and unlicensed rogue mad scientists.
Correct.
But it is also now a world where the UN turns towards the licensed mad scientist community in their time of need.
Right.
Which then in turn turn towards the unlicensed mad scientist rogue community.
Well described.
Great.
No, I mean, that is the Ed version of this.
Yeah, really, though.
Of this story. Because there are so many smaller stories about, like, loneliness or revenge that could be told with, like, a death ray. And, like, do you really want to melt the skulls of your enemies?
I mean, I know I do, but...
Right, but there's nothing like roasting the skulls of your enemies with a good friend.
The only thing that smells better than s'mores.
Oh, man.
Ah, yes.
His brains.
His brains. Specifically skulls.
Skulls.
Anyway. Yeah, so this got very big very quickly. You are correct. And
it's a quiet little indie flick.
No, and it could, and you know, I feel like there are ways to sort of manage the world building. Like maybe the person who's selling isn't a rogue mad scientist, but just like has these parts in their old garage and is just like posting them. Like, this is what it says it is. Right. So I mean, if you have a science degree, maybe like you want it.
His uncle was a mad scientist and passed away and left in the house or something.
Exactly. And like, he really has bad memories of this house. He wants to clean it out. He wants to move on with his life.
Okay, guys.
Yes.
Open on. It's like a video recording frame in a kid's bedroom.
Okay.
Okay.
And he's like, it's finally here, you guys. I'm so excited. And it's like, the Academy. I'm envelope, and it's like clearly like a kid like graduating high school.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I'm like, you know, I think this is it. You know, I've been living for this day when I'm going to find out. I'm going to go to the. He's not it. He didn't get it.
Oh no!
Yeah, I know. He's really sad about it. And he's
you can
like,
tell
on
by
camera.
How thin the envelope was.
Right, and so like we like fight. So we enter this person's world where they're just like. Day one, they didn't get what they want.
Sure.
They're just devastated. It's terrible. They don't know what they're ever going to do. And of course, like, why did he want to join the Academy? Well, I mean, you know, there's only one way we're going to save the world from the alien invaders.
Right.
Right.
Whatever the impending source of doom is.
Yeah.
Yes. I like aliens. They're convenient.
Sure. They're right there. Yeah.
Right, you would want to build a lot of death rays if aliens were vulnerable to them.
Or you need one really big one to take out the armada that's like almost there.
Right, the mothership.
Right, because
and we have moved all the way from Sundance to Transformers, and yes. I love it.
Well, because like, you know, Space Invaders is for, you know, for lazy species that have to fight them right when they're in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm, the trick is to get them when they're still
you need to be
solar
proactive.
Systems away.
Right, exactly.
With your...
Right.
That's what the moon base is for.
Right. So so I think the story is now the kid discovering, it's a buddy movie, right?
Okay.
You can cross cut with like the older independent, like sort of rebel, like, you know, mad scientist
uh-huh.
that has this kind of dusty old death ray that would work if there was a little youthful elbow grease, and like it's really past their prime, and they're also kind
right.
of
so it's really a bonding mentorship film about getting this, like fixing this car, basically. Except it's a death ray.
Right, right.
Okay.
And they're gonna stick it to the Academy.
There's some Bruce Springsteen playing in the background and stuff.
Is it wrong that I kind of really want to watch this now? Like, the more that it's just like
right.
about just like fixing this car that just happens to also
so be
a
death
ray.
I really like that too, actually.
And like, there can be the built-in like sort of like mechanic storytelling thing of like, you know, the kid's like YouTube channel is like, you know, like that's like could be a storytelling technique that we use.
Oh,
to like
sure.
Frame
the
it.
Sort of like
sure.
framing device of speaking into the camera confessionally.
Right.
Yeah.
It's in these days.
I think that's swinging it back towards the Sundance end of the spectrum,
it,
too.
It does.
Yeah.
It swings it back and makes it a more personal story. And I think that, you know, I don't know how much of a budget we've been given for this theoretical film. If it's animated, we can do a lot.
Yes.
And we can tell sort of a big world spinning. You know, Moriarty-sized conspiracy.
Yeah.
But if we wanted to do something live action or even something animated that feels a little bit closer and a little bit more manageable, I love the, like, uncle, nephew, or aunt-niece. We haven't really, the genders don't really matter.
I'm not attached to the male.
Just, like, bonding and learning through two disappointed people who are trying to make something work, which is a death ray that's going to kill... the president. I don't know.
Right. Okay, but let's dig in a little bit more granular.
Yeah,
into
absolutely.
This. So, okay, so we get them working together again, and then what happens? Sort of like, you know, what is the conflict from then onwards?
I mean, obviously, like they're hard on funds, right? So there's always the temptation.
You got to do like the car wash in order to fund the death ray repair.
Exactly, right? And, you know, maybe the bank wants to repurpose the parts or sell the house. All right.
Oh, whoa.
I think
they
got for an heist.
They got to get into that academy and get GTFO with the missing parts.
All right. That, again, makes it a little bigger, but I'm into it.
And then it's like, again, like sort of a like power to the people sort of a thing.
Right. Then it's, a little bit, not Inside Man. That's not the right heist movie, but...
Yeah, but like...
It's not far off.
No. Okay.
I mean, then the Craigslist post is looking for...
Accomplices.
Aspiring
right.
Mad scientist thief. Like, willing to burgle. Like,
hello, Mr. Baggins. I require a burglar.
See, though, you know the other way that this could go? You guys remember that Jimmy Stewart movie, Winchester 73?
Yes, vaguely. I do. Yes, I'm with you up immediately.
Remind me, I don't remember that well.
It was the first film we watched in Westerns. And if you listening haven't seen Winchester 73, it follows, Jimmy Stewart is the lead, but it mostly follows this Winchester 73 rifle as it moves from hand to hand and eventually comes back to Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
But it sort of travels the West and you have heroes and outlaws and noble people and villains and all sorts interacting with this rifle.
And it's a little bit like the Elder Wand in Harry Potter.
Yes.
Like kind of like everybody that gets it sort of eventually
it is,
you know, has this undone. Moment of like, I am the most powerful thing in the West, because it really is this beautiful, powerful weapon.
It is like the most advanced. I think it's a repeating rifle that has some special feature that makes it faster and better than all the other guns in the West.
But inevitably it always ends in that
doom.
Person. Exactly. And the gun being taken by a new person.
Right.
Sidebar, have you guys been to the Winchester Mystery House?
No.
No, I know
Holy
about it,
Holy shit. Lauren Jibben ragged me there. It was unbelievable. This woman.
Oh, yes, I know.
Of the Winchester fortune.
Right.
Just like,
and there are halls that go to nowhere.
Yeah, to nowhere. She just like basically built this like crazy. It's like, if you've ever seen a spider web built by like a high spider.
That's
and
what
it just
this
looks
is.
Four
outrageous.
Minutes.
Oh no.
All right. Check. No, but we're in a kind of a good place. Either we have sort of a weird feel good movie that Mark Duplass would actually produce about, you know, intergenerational death ray repair leading to wholeness and also murder,
but also the salvation of humanity.
And who's getting murdered by the repaired death ray? Is that the like invading alien armada?
Maybe it's an alien. Maybe it's like something more personal to the two of them. You know, someone who wronged them or hurt them in the past.
The academy, like the Dumbledore of...
Right, it could be the leader of the
academy.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
I hope he's not like Dumbledore.
That's dark.
Yeah.
It is pretty dark. Like maybe they've decided the academy needs to stop.
Right.
Wow.
Ooh.
There's like a board meeting coming up. Wow, this is getting really...
Yeah.
I kind of like it though. Yeah, I guess, you know, it is kind of kicking the can down the road. They're just killing aliens. Fine.
Well, because there's nothing complicated about in sort of the audience placement of, like, we are all humans.
Right.
We like
the self-preservation,
humans, more
right.
or less, and aliens I'm unclear about. Maybe, like, you know, you kind of have to live with the Cylons for a little while in order to have your allegiances start to get muddy.
Right. Mm. Well said.
But so what does this gentleman who runs the academy... If that is the eventual target,
sure.
Of the death ray. what is the problem with this gentleman? Is he about to like, you know, trigger some like horrible experiment that he's convinced everyone is going to be okay?
Right.
But the protagonists know that it's actually going to lead
to destroy the world or something. Mm. That could be it.
Death ray seems drastic, though.
It does seem very drastic.
I mean,
that might be the only way to get to him, though.
Mm.
Like, and that's the heist element of like smuggling the death ray into like the one spot where, you know, like in Indiana Jones, you have to get the crystal to hit the light.
Sure. Right. So this is now sort of combining, like, sort of a little bit more of a, like, buddy road trip.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, sort of, like, family, like, project.
Family drama.
With a
heist
assassination
revenge
movie.
Assassination movie. And I think if we had more than 40 minutes, we would probably have to pick one or the other.
Sure.
Because that is a large tonal jump.
It is. That is true.
But I like them both.
So wait, so that's one idea.
And yeah, that sort of branched off into two ideas.
Yes. And then to return to the previous fork in the road.
Right.
Then there is also sort of the one that is like, you follow this death ray that
as
is given
it moves
away.
From person
right,
to
from
person.
Person to person.
And, you know.
And then you've got kind of like a red violin sort of a
yeah,
thing going to it.
Exactly. And I think less Winchester 73, not everyone, but most people die. I think.
It is the Wild Wild West.
It is. It's a great movie. But this, it would be interesting if like the death ray doesn't work, or like the person, like no one gets killed, and that maybe is how the parts move along. Is that like revenge is sabotaged?
Oh, that's
or fruitless.
Interesting. And like every time they're about to fire the death ray, it malfunctions.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't work.
Or it doesn't work. Or like they have a change of heart or something.
Oh.
And it's
and
now
you're just
it's
watching getting tenser and tenser and tenser
the
for the one time yeah. that it does work. Oh, that's interesting. I like that.
I like that too.
Mm. All right.
They're after us.
They are after us. It's Bushwick.
Okay. Yeah, listen to those alarms.
They heard all the talk about death. That's right. They're like,
so
yeah, the NSA bugs.
I know.
Yeah. Are real.
Hi, government. So, Zach, which of those ideas do you like the most?
So, my problem with the Winchester 73 model is
30 seconds.
I like the other one, but then that one.
Which other one? Buddy feel good road trip with death, or like Academy heist.
Buddy feel good road trip with death.
Great, we solved it.
Any last comments in your 10 seconds?
We didn't solve it.
Three.
Great first two, episode, you guys.
One.
That was really fun, though, Gabrielle.
That was a good one. Yeah, and so I mean, I'm surprised at how far you guys were able to take that, and I think that it really does speak to if you are willing to just kind of like consider different possibilities and yep. consider just like different ways of looking at things, it can lead to buddy road trip comedies.
And I think we had some help in that, like the thing that we were given was so dramatic and so strange
right.
to begin with.
Right.
This was a good thing to bring to the first episode of this.
Right.
Because
a death
immediately,
ray is always dramatic.
It fires your imagination immediately, which is probably why like we destroyed some aliens in the process of doing this.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think? This death ray movie, good idea, bad idea?
No bad ideas.
I think it still needs more work.
We need to
figure out who the characters are. But
yes, I think I do not think that this is ready for prime time. Just
no, but we have the tentative bones of a structure, which is exciting because structure is really hard.
Yes, yes, it is.
And like road trip from I don't know Albuquerque to New York or something like where you know give them some road trip to fix the death ray until they get to the place they need to be, like that's a structure you can build something around.
So I like that idea, because then like a cop can pull them over and be like, so what is it that you have in the trunk exactly?
It's TV.
Yeah. But it says death ray, caution may cause death. Like,
we're big Star Wars fans here.
Yeah.
No, don't worry about it, that death ray doesn't cause death, doesn't it? Common misconception. Okay. That was great, you guys. Let's take a quick break,
yeah.
And we'll come back and talk some more about writing.
Sounds good.
Hello, everybody. We're just breaking into our own episode to have a quick chat.
Is it really breaking in if it's R?
No, I think we may just be breaking great. The episode. Just like, I think the episode may now be broken.
Okay, it's broken. We can all go home now.
Okay. All right, now, Zach, what was so important that you broke the episode?
So look, we love creating online. I think maybe there are a few things that we love more. And we could really use your help.
We could.
Yeah.
Because it's tough to find the time to podcast and to tell stories and to create new things.
And survive in New York City.
Right. When you're working, I think cumulatively we work about 43 different jobs in Brooklyn and Manhattan just to pay our bills.
Rounding probably. Up or down.
Let's keep that a mystery. Let's let folks figure that one out on their own.
In any case.
But yes, help is greatly appreciated, and you would be surprised by how little it takes to make a very, very big difference in how much we can make and how much we can put out into the internet.
And that's why we created a Patreon page for this show. And the idea is that it will help us cover costs and, you know, make this show run indefinitely into the future as a weekly upload.
And hopefully allow us to make stuff that isn't the show. More stuff like time bombs. More
war
creative.
Chest. War chest.
Okay,
who are we going to war with that we need a war chest?
Look, I'm just saying, we want to make another audio drama in 1 week. We're going to need some more chest money.
All right. Steering us in a less bellicose direction.
Right. In any case.
Patreon is a service where you can sign up to give recurring donations to the people that are making the art that you love and to help them make more of that art. If you sign up to help No Bad Ideas, every time that we put out a new episode, you will be charged for however much you think is right and however much you feel comfortable giving to help us out. And whether that is $1 or a number that is higher than $1, whatever you think is right, trust us, it is going to make an enormous difference in terms of what we can do.
So yeah, if you want to check that out, you can go to nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And it'll redirect you to Patreon's page.
I'm sorry, Zach. I got distracted for one moment. There must have been something in my ear. What was the direction one more time?
Of course, of course. It's nobadideaspodcast.com/support to go to our Patreon page. Now,
I think that time I got it.
They don't get anything out of this, right? They just get to feel good and that's it, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Wait. I thought this was a purely good feelings enterprise.
I mean, We are all people of the world. We know that you want to help us make more things and want to listen to this show, but also maybe want a little something for your money.
A little something for you.
So right now we have one reward already. If you sign up, you can get writing prompts for the month of November. If you are writing or if you want to write, we will help you out and maybe give you some ideas to get started that aren't bad ones.
No promises.
And yet we'll have some fun goals we want to achieve and maybe some new rewards in the future. If you have things you would like to see from us,
send
let us know.
Send us your ideas. At Fear the Shame on Twitter. Send us your ideas.
It should be a good time.
But one more thing.
Right.
Oh, that's right. One more thing.
One more thing. And then we'll get back to the show.
This is different.
It is different because we don't just want to get help from you guys. We also want to help you. And we want to spend a little bit of time talking about tools and services and other things out there that have made our writing and creating lives easier.
Yeah.
And we want to talk today about one that actually you introduced us to, Zach.
That's right. We're talking today about Rev.com. It's a site for transcribing audio and video files, starting at $1 a minute, and
which is a really great
really good
price.
Considering that it's people doing it versus a lot of these new apps that like have
the robots.
but Rev.com is partnering with us. They gave us a little coupon code for y'all folks at home that may want to give this a try, and your first $10 off the first 10 minutes of whatever you want to get transcribed.
$10 off your first time.
With our code. Order? I have been using rev.com since mid-2000. Like basically as long as I've been in business as a video person, I've been using Rev to get transcriptions quickly, cheaply, and it's been great. So you can go to nobadideaspodcast.com/rev. That's nobadideaspodcast.com/REV. And it'll take you automatically to their site and hook you up with that discount.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if we can unbreak the episode.
No, still broken.
It's screwed.
So, now comes the second half of our program, which follows a very, very specific, very carefully and neatly mm-hmm. designed structure, which we will not deviate from. It is a very simple 39-step plan. Some of those steps are multi-part, but don't worry, it's all very simple. It can be explained in under 1 minute. Zach Valenti will explain now.
Sarah, did you let him eat the drugs again? Because I think he just hallucinated this whole planning thing that we didn't do. But the point of the check-in corner is basically just
which
to
is
catch
what
up
we are calling this
second with each other
of the program. Yes.
Yes, we're just going to check in with each other. Yeah. Talk about what we're working on, what we're worried about, what we're obsessed with that's keeping us from working, all of those good things. What's on our mind, what music we're listening to. Part of the excuse of doing this whole thing is to have a fun creative exercise that we do, but also just like hang out as people who are doing creative things. So let the very structured hangouts with microphones commence.
So how have you guys been lately? What are you working on? What's new in your respective creative desks?
That's an awesome question. I feel like I can say one specific big thing that I was very excited to get up yesterday morning, which was the Write a Script in November promo video.
That's right. You're doing that again.
Yeah. And at the moment we are recording this, we are a little over 24 hours away from the start of November.
I know.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. So yeah, if anybody's familiar with the National Novel Writing Month,
NaNoWriMo,
which I feel
which
like is...
we'll talk about
in,
more
yeah.
in due time.
Yeah,
no,
right.
I saw that Twitter post.
Pretty badass.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
But yeah, basically it's like a community writing challenge that I've known about for a long time that lots and lots of people I know have done.
And where, in case... this is someone's first time hearing the phrase NaNoWriMo.
Right, that's what I'm trying to explain.
Okay,
yeah, it's basically like you have 30 days to write an entire novel in 1 month.
And specifically 50,000 words, I believe,
that's the goal.
Is the goal, which for some people is more than a novel, is some people is way less than a novel.
Right.
Right, I think that is what Stephen King considers a light weekend workload.
Right.
Well, yes.
Not all of us are human.
He is real life Dr. Faustus. We all know that.
Oh man.
But yes, that's the limit. Has everyone in this room done NaNoWriMo?
I have not.
Okay.
I have.
I've failed at it.
Okay.
I've failed at it and completed it.
Nice. Yes.
I've like thought about doing it and then gotten to the month and it's just like way more than I bargained for.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I'm not as interested in writing novels as I am writing scripts. So that was why
convenient.
I sort of like got the idea like, oh man, and there used to be Script Frenzy, which was like in April, but that doesn't happen anymore. That's sort of like this kind of a challenge. So yeah, it was one of those things where it was like, this should exist. And so I'm going to...
So you made it exist.
You did it last year.
And it was awesome. Like 100 people from all over the world did it. There was a couple audio dramas came out of it. Like season ones got written.
That's awesome.
Like more than one show.
Guys, like real talk. Writers are crazy. Like
it's awesome.
The things that we do to each other and the ways that we make each other work.
Because it's terrifying. You kind of have to do things to yourself and to each other.
Well,
it's true. Like writing into the void is really scary. And so I feel that if you're like us, you end up throwing yourself at things that are even scarier in order to make it.
Yeah, make the thing not scary.
Well, yeah.
The fear of public shame presents.
Oh, Lord.
If anybody noticed that in our sort of branding, like this is like a thing that we've talked kind of extensively internally about.
It is sort of one of the long running jokes that it the is. Best advice that we've ever found for how to be productive is that fear of public shame is your friend.
Right. And by that, we sort of just mean accountability, either yes. to someone, to a friend, to a colleague, to the general public.
Just have someone that if on a certain date you do not have a finished thing, they're not going to be mad.
No.
They're just going to be disappointed. Ugh. Oh, you'll write that thing. That thing will get written, whatever it is. You may need to pull an all-nighter. It may not be good.
No, it won't be, probably. But that's okay.
It'll exist.
And that's the hardest part.
And from there, it's a much, much shorter road to being good.
Yeah. So I'm excited to be writing in November and sort of writing out like ideas for YouTube videos and ideas great. For podcasts.
Nice.
I just feel like I've sort of burnt out.
Yeah, a script like... an audio drama script, a film script.
Right, you could
TV
write any
script.
Any script.
Okay,
so the idea with Rice Grove Ember was to basically make it as easy and modular as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that basically if you wanted to write a one-page script and feel one-page script length, you know, better about your life and your creative process, like that works.
Awesome.
I think the main goal is just to finish one complete script of any length. And then the stretch goal is 90 script pages, whether that's like 90 video, you know, 91
video
minute videos
or like
one feature.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
let me tell you, if you are listening to this right now and in November, you write one script page a day, every day, I will come to your house and give you a high five. Okay. I will not actually do that.
I was going to say
gas money and plane tickets and all that good stuff
are
really expensive, but I will really, really want to like go and do that because that is...
it's a huge accomplishment.
It's such a huge accomplishment. And taking it one day at a time and one page at a time will make it more scalable, will make that mountain a little bit less incredibly difficult to climb.
And that's the thing that I had...
But it requires discipline.
Yeah,
like, it requires
the
commitment.
Yeah, that is what... if I think NaNoWriMo breaks down like the number of words you need to write a day to make it super manageable. I think it's like 5,000 or something.
No, I think it's about 1,600.
It's 1,600 or something.
Something like that.
But it is a number that's doable, but it's just having the discipline every day.
Single day.
Yeah. That is so tough. And so I think you require a structure to do it, unless you're Stephen King.
No, and I'm already thinking about, you know, Sarah and I are going up to Providence this weekend because we're going to be speaking at Rhode Island
Comic-Con.
And already I'm kind of doing the mental math of like, oh my God, wait a second. We're about to spend, how many hours are we going to be on the bus? And then speaking, God, maybe I won't write that day. Maybe, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh God, wait a second. How much does that raise?
How much does that cost?
Yeah.
You?
Like how much?
Can I be writing on the bus?
Ooh, the answer to that almost always
cannot.
No, you cannot.
You cannot write on the bus.
Don't do that to yourself, kids.
I like writing on buses.
You like writing on buses?
Oh man, really?
See, I like for me, writing is like pulling fingernails. I love having written. That's my favorite quote about writing.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so I find like long periods of time where I'm forced to sit down and like kind of look straight ahead and the Wi-Fi is not great. Like basically like when it is inconvenient to distract myself.
Sure.
Sure.
Because I kind of have to be quiet. Like,
yeah.
You know, I always sort of... wonder, like, I've never done this because it seems creepy, but I heard that Chuck Palahniuk writes best in like hospital waiting rooms, and like that might be true for me too.
And I kind of get that though, because one of those, like, the surroundings is so aggressively awful that you would not let yourself get distracted.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Oh my God. Wow.
What a monster. That's awful.
So here's a theory based, then curious about what you guys' thoughts are, based on this reaction that we just had. I feel that part of the reason why the three of us have been able to work together and still find interesting, compelling things to talk about and to amuse ourselves with after we've been working together, the three of us, pretty steadily since about mid-2015.
Yeah.
14? 15. Yeah, right. It was a little bit after we started Wolf.
Well, I feel that we were all working inconsistently together.
Right.
Before. And then 15 is the point where all of a sudden we have to deal with each other at least once a week.
Every single week. Right. The three of us in a room together.
Where we got to spend time with each other.
No. I feel like the first way you said it.
Is honest
and correct. Because that's part of it, is dealing with each other, because we all I think are similar but bring different perspectives to the work.
Well, this is the theory that I was going to have, is that I feel that there are definitely times when the three of us all agree. That's when you know, it's like, oh, that's a good idea, when the three of us all agree.
That's when we're concerned.
But at any given moment, usually I feel that the two of us overlap in one way.
Sure.
And then the other person is kind of going I don't know what you guys are talking about. That's absolutely crazy. But it's not always the same.
Yeah, it's not always the same pair.
Exactly. It's not you guys always agree and I'm always the mad guy.
No.
Kind of standing in the corner.
No.
I feel that there is just enough moments when each one of us is singled out, that we're all constantly on guard about oh God,
am I
the one whose brain just completely just has a different chemistry than everything else that is happening in this room.
Hmm.
And that's useful.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Are you doing anything else besides Rice Square Vember, or is that just going to take over your month?
Well, so I'm doing a lot of other things. I have sort of two sort of bigger freelance media projects that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
The podcast with Blockstack, the Internet 3.0. And we're booking new guests, and we're, that train is moving.
That's exciting.
Which is really exciting. And then I'm finishing up a project with Columbia Business School. I do editing for their e-learning, their coding courses. And it sounds like I may have another thing there, and that takes up a fair amount of time.
See, I feel this is the part of you that people the internet doesn't really see, and it's
also largely why the internet hasn't seen as much of me,
right? Because you've been busy making the tech world,
and teaching people the tech world.
And I find it is difficult when I'm doing something in a medium, say creating a podcast or creating videos, mm-hmm. to then when I'm off the clock, go right back into the same computer in the same app and do another thing that's just what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I focus as fuck. I feel pretty embarrassed how long it's been since an episode's gone up on that feed, when I came back with the intention of for 1 year, I will upload every other week.
And
that's why one of the reasons I'm excited about Rice Grive Ember is to just stockpile some scripts that are things that I definitely want to say.
Yeah.
That aren't just up. I don't feel good about just uploading to upload.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And just filling the world with more noise.
You know, I was talking about this recently with some friends about, I have kind of had a similar process the past couple of months. At the start of the year, I sort of set myself these goals of, this year I'm going to write so much. I'm going to finally get that indie feature film script written.
We were talking about multiple things at the beginning of the year that were all going to happen.
And slowly and surely those got chipped away, not because we did them, but because at various points we sort of went, we're going to put this on the shelf for now. And sometimes it was because the thing wasn't working, and sometimes it was because we sort of went, oh, right, money in order to live. We should get that. That's a thing that we should have.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was because we realized that we sort of went into something thinking that it was going to be a 2-month project. And then it became sort of very clear that it was oh, no, this is a 2-year project. This is going to take a much bigger gestation period than anything that you've been allotting it. And on a certain level, it feels kind of shitty to just sort of go my God, remember back in February of this year when I thought that by October I would have all these things written, and all I have now are scratched out pieces of paper and, the growing pile in the wastebasket. And then on the other side, though, I think that there might also just be a part of us that after 4 years of writing and directing and producing and acting in Wolf 359, which for 4 years came out when it was in season every 2 weeks, no matter what, And that train was coming, and that train don't stop. And if you don't like an idea, then okay, fine, take the idea out, but you need to replace it. You right. need to put something in there. And that train, that's a month, that's two weeks. That's, oh God, you're recording it this week and you want to change things? You suddenly don't like the idea? Are you mad? Hold on to that idea. Like, keep that idea close.
Yeah.
There might be something to all of our brains of kind of like, oh, we have now the luxury of putting things on the shelf. We have the luxury of putting ideas aside.
Being picky.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that we've bowed to being able to be picky instead of to upholding the crazy schedules that we had largely set to ourselves and the crazy work demands and work expectations that we had of ourselves.
Yeah. You know,
no, that's kind of why time bombs happened. It was like, let us do a thing and it's got to be out in a week so right. we don't get to be picky, really.
Exactly.
Time bound.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry. I'll leave.
No, I'll leave. It's okay.
You know, so many people since Time Bombs has come out have sort of gone to me and sort of gone like, oh, and it was so smart that because it was something that you had to do in a week, you sort of called it time. Oh, that was smart. That was clever. And I was
clever.
That was very intentional of us.
We did that on purpose.
That's funny.
100%.
I guess like the last thing that I've been thinking about and, you know, that's like, it weirdly connected to writing I feel like I've been slowly, like while we've been off the air from Wolf and like a little bit that year, have sort of been like developing like the way that I will write to maximize that I actually create. Cause it's just like so painful for me to sit down and like stare at a screen.
Mm-hmm.
But like I have all this time on the subway and like I basically built a custom keyboard that like I am very productive on when I sit down on the subway and just write when I have nobody else to talk to and nothing mm-hmm. else to do but like consume podcasts.
Yeah.
I can sort of turn that off and just like book between meetings. But like it didn't sync with anything. It was just like this weird, like kind of hacky computer project that was harder to use, but my roommate just helped me get that working. And then I like got into writing on note cards from outlining things with you guys on note cards. And now I have a little box that I like never leave the house with. And, I found some apps that like automatically, you know, like give you text for like recording your microphone, you know? And so like, just like, I feel like I've been putting infrastructure in place
mm-hmm.
to be prolific starting
November 1st.
Right. And the idea is to sort of like put a back, like whatever I'm working on, like have a mindset of process and backlogging as much as possible so that I don't get in this position where I'm like living, you know, not paycheck to paycheck. Well, that's a different, but like the equivalent of that for uploading stuff. Like I'm not living upload to upload.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All good.
Word.
How about you guys? Sarah, I'm curious, what are you working on these days?
I mean, let's talk about paychecks, because my year has been way less creative than I had wanted or hoped it to be. However, I've been doing some fun stuff with you guys, and been doing some thinking about movies and TV, and had a couple pieces come out in places on the internet.
Which was so cool.
It was that was really cool.
What are the places?
Let's
for
see.
Those who may not have.
Sure. I had some travel writing come out on a site called Jungles in Paris, and then I had a article about a fabulous film called Only Angels Have Wings come out on Bright Wall Dark Room, which is a film site that you should all go read. It's very funny and free-flowing and good criticism.
And if you like kind of older, more film geeky things,
yes,
and you have not seen Only Angels Have Wings,
oh my gosh,
and or you are not reading Bright Wall Dark Room,
yeah.
I always sort of get it mixed up. I always sort of say like Dark Room,
Bright Wall.
But if you're not reading that site, you absolutely need to do both of those things. They are both so great and will do you so well.
It's true. And then, I'm also gearing up, not in a way with accountability. So we'll see how that goes. But to tackle a project that is related to the thing that Gabrielle is about to talk about. Not the thing that Gabrielle is doing.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out if I can be more cryptic.
I think that we can part the curtain a little bit.
So like one of the things that we've been doing over this year is we sort of have been chewing on and developing a kind of fantasy world that does not have death rays yet.
but give it time, because I was kind of taking notes during you guys' discussion. Yeah. I was like, ooh, this is good.
No, and we came up with sort of a system and a structure for this fun universe that we want to play in. Mm-hmm. This was all born out very similarly to what we did today. It was based on a John Oliver piece originally, like way back.
Yes, sort of one of those, like, I listened to something that John Oliver said, got an idea in my head, and I sort of went like, okay, guys, so here's everything that John Oliver said. Ignored 99% of it.
But this one
and
thing.
And just concentrate on this 1% of an idea.
Right, which then spawned a whole world that the three of us have been playing in all to different degrees. And yeah, we outlined a novel that Gabrielle is going to
That I'm going to write
in November. Yeah,
you are. NaNoWriMo.
No,
yes.
No pressure.
And
I am taking some characters that we developed in the novel and creating podcast around them.
Like a new audio fiction.
That's going to have a weird structure, so we'll see if I can pull it off.
Yeah, and we're still talking about, is this a mini-series? Is this a recurring thing?
We're still, and that's what a lot of my November is going to be, is working out the structure of this thing, besides the cool structural trick that it will have. Working out a little bit more about the characters. We have some good sense of them, but want to develop them more. So that's going to be a lot of what I'm doing in November. I am also circling back with some folks who worked on Wolf who have an idea for a podcast project of their own that I'm helping them develop.
Ooh.
And I don't know that I'm at liberty to say more about that.
Sure.
Won't.
But that's exciting.
Yeah, but that's a lot of thinking about audio is what's ahead of me, which is going to be rough because I really don't know anything about audio at all.
No. So if there's one thing that you feel has you the most worried or the most concerned, is there anything that leaps out at you as you stare down?
I mean, I'm never worried about the work, and I don't know if that's
worrying in and of itself
is I choose to place my worry on other things. I'm also doing some grading for an old professor, and I'm very behind on that. So that's where my worry is, like,
great,
this week. I'm worried about the day job that I have. I'm worried about doing laundry. Like, I sort of place my worry in other places. And that's good because I'm not afraid of the work necessarily, but it's also bad because I know what it feels like to sort of let myself down and not be accountable to things, and to this process that we've been going through this year, but more so of just like letting go of goals that I set for myself, because there are no consequences if I fail myself. I know what that feels like, and my brain is okay with it. And so accountability, like, I'm always worried about, will I actually do the thing that I want to do, that there aren't like eviction consequences if I don't do it.
Right.
And that's part of why we are getting on a podcast and talking about what we're doing for NaNoWriMo and Rice Grave Ember and all our other things, instead of just quietly registering a NaNoWriMo account just to be able to have the word tracker and doing nothing else. Because now that we've said this, by God, this will exist.
No,
at the end of
exactly.
November.
Now, like, there is the expectation because people who I care about are aware of it. And I think that's the secret sauce. And it usually works. Sometimes it doesn't. I will still worry about it. But It's the one thing I think all three of us have found that have helped, that has helped.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Community accountability.
Oh yeah.
I think the original potential name for this show of just calling it Fear of Public Shame, I think No Bad Ideas is definitely a better fit, but I like that we've left like Fear of Public Shame Presents. Cause I feel like in many ways that is the, like, the function of this section of the podcast is like setting traps for ourselves every week that will snap.
Yeah. Because if we don't artfully dodge around them. Yeah.
Right. Like if I don't have my, like, you know, I have myself on the hook to write like weekly emails for Rice Cry Ember, whether or not I get around to having a YouTube video for every email is like the stretch goal that I have for myself.
Sure.
Right.
And like, you know, I'm going to have to come explain myself next week.
But I think it's wise that you have something sort of small, because the trap that you can fall into, especially, you know,
if your name's Zach Valenti.
Well, not just if your name's Zach Valenti, if you have a Twitter account or a Facebook account and you can sort of see what other creative people around you and who you respect are doing, is to set like a huge vague goal of like, oh my gosh, I need to write a podcast, I need to write a novel, I need to be uploading every week, because that's what YouTubers do.
Yeah.
And having something that is smaller and manageable will like build those muscles of repetition for you. And whether, you know, eventually, you know, you may not always have a YouTube video, but I'm willing to bet that at least the first and last will.
So that's the idea, is just like to set smaller, more manageable goals that are building muscle, and sort of like, I think the biggest thing is like process.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we're also going to be getting together. We're going to try to do something like this once a week.
Yeah.
Right, where it's also, oh, right, writing can be fun, and it can be something that happens quickly from crazy ideas. And it's something that can involve just three people yelling at each other a whole bunch and kind of laughing and having a good time, because as you sort of make it more and more into something that is scary and consequential, because it needs to be scary or consequential,
yeah,
it's also good to sort of every now and then shake yourself away from that a little bit and go, oh, right. No, this is fun.
And it's also, I think, you know, the collaborative aspect of it is so important for that reason, too. It gets scarier and more consequential the more alone you are with an idea, I think. And so like that's another reason we're doing this, is to sort of make coming up with ideas, having ideas, working through creative challenges more something that we can all share.
Yeah,
indeed.
Cheers.
All right, so we teased your stuff, but right. Like explain it.
You gonna say?
No, and good night, folks. That's it. Well, see you next week for another episode of So one of the many, many projects that we've kind of poked at over the course of this year has been this idea that eventually kind of asserted that it wanted to be a novel.
We thought about other things, but...
We thought about a couple of other things, but by the time that it was more or less fully formed, it felt like it wanted to be a novel. And... yeah, it has been like a little while since I've actually had a full outline of the thing ready to go. Like, it's been like a little bit since we've kind of talked about the nuts and bolts of the story, nuts and bolts of the character. And the thing that remains, like the next thing on the to-do list is write the novel. Like, go, make it. And over the past 4 or so months, there's been a lot of travel, a lot of work, a lot of side projects, a lot of life situations where it has become increasingly easy to kind of go, oh, I'm not quite ready to write a novel right now. Because when you say write a novel, aside from it being really pretentious sounding on a certain level, it also just feels huge and weighty. Like, you know, like a script... Even like a feature film script, you could, if you
can
drink
do that in
enough
a weekend.
Coca-Cola,
yeah.
You can do that in a weekend.
Yeah.
A novel feels like a much, much bigger commitment. and also something that is still very, very new to me. You know, I've...
Because it's been a while since you've written prose, right?
The last really big prose project that I took on was the last time that I did NaNoWriMo, and that was in 2013. Mm-hmm. And that was a deeply bad novel. It was a novel that existed by the end of the month, but it was a very bad piece of prose writing. So there's also like a little bit of insecurity around that, and there's a little bit of kind of like, oh God, I really like these characters and I really like the situation, but they are kind of leading me into very uncharted waters for me, and then kind of turning around and going, great, all right, you drive now, take us safely to the promised lands past all these like very boggy,
right, everyone's
dark...
just waiting on you.
Yeah. So I am doing NaNoWriMo a little bit to kick myself into gear and a little bit to kind of go, like, I can no longer put off the writing of this thing. It needs to come into existence, and it needs to come into existence now. Hmm. And I think that there's also just an element of most other ideas that we've actually executed on have gotten big in the making, but have started out quite small and tiny. You know, Wolf Brief D9, we had like a vague idea of the characters when we sort of went like, all right, let's do it. Let's go. Let's write it. And then things got like very, very detailed.
Yeah, they got fleshed out.
Right.
Same with Time Bombs. This is something where we really did a lot of planning, and we have kind of long, extensive timelines and very like intricate information about the world.
We have a lot of information about the world, you guys. We are Tolkien geeks here.
Yeah, you can say that a couple of times.
And
it's so much. It's amazing.
It's when something is that heavy,
yeah. It
takes energy to get it moving. And I suspect that once it's moving, it will actually build momentum of its own. But it's taken a while to kind of get it into sort of even first gear.
Yeah.
So I'm using this lovely, lovely audience of people who will all be very judgmental of me if I don't have something by November 30th to make me have to kind of wrestle with getting it moving.
And you're not promising about sharing it on November 30th, except...
No, no.
Yeah.
No, I promise that on November 30th, I will... So what I really want to promise, but I won't for my safety, is a screenshot of the last sentence, perhaps blurred out, and then the words, the end. Because I'm not doing it by word count. I'm doing it by, I want to finish the book.
Because there's an outline, right. And yeah, you just need to get to the end of the outline.
Yes. And it is an outline that should be doable in a month. It is not a Dickensian.
No, it's not crazy. No.
What if it's 49,990?
Then he's won NaNoWriMo.
Then that's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Fine.
But yeah, but like
knowing you, it'll probably be 400,000 words.
I have a problem, you guys. I overwrite a lot. But
definitely better than the other direction.
Sure. Sure. But yeah, what I will actually promise is that on November 30th, I will sort of share my NaNoWriMo, like, dashboard statistics.
Nice. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever page count I'm actually on that day. Yeah.
Great.
And it'll be closer to being done than not.
And that is the secret point of NaNoWriMo, I think, is that just you get closer to being done, even if you get only finished with the first part, even if life happens and you only write the prologue, it will still be in first gear as opposed to being in park, where it's been for a while.
No, and you know, I had a last month I had a job where I was writing a script for another show.
Yeah.
I kind of got a writing assignment to write a script for someone. And the script ended up being about, I want to say, 35 pages. And it was written over 3 days. And the first day I wrote, I want to say, 2 pages. And then the next day, I wrote about 7 pages. And then the last day, I wrote however many pages are left, something in the order of like 20 pages on the last day. And there is just sort of something of like, once the swing of it starts.
It becomes inevitable.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And at a certain point, especially I find once you pass the rear view mirror in a script, all of a sudden it becomes that much more attractive to stay up an hour later to finish.
Sure.
Rather than it is to like take a break and leave it off. You sort of are kind of like going like, once it feels like the end of something is within reach, it's so much easier to push forward and pounce at it.
Right. Like when you see the end of a like race coming up, when I was doing some races last year before I injured myself running those very races. you like, you're like, think you're exhausted, and then you see the finish line and you find that extra like ounce of.
Yeah. And you sort of discover like, oh, wait, I can't do this.
Yeah. Right. Do you write, I think I've asked you this before, but I'm doing it now for an audience.
Hey.
Chronologically, you start at the beginning and you write to the end?
Yes. Okay. I wrote exactly one, there was exactly one episode of Wolf 359 that I tried to write non-chronologically. And I forget why I did it. I think that it might have been that I was waiting for an earlier episode
to
be done, and I wanted to kind of like cross-reference some dialogue in the earlier episode. And so I kind of went like, okay, I'll write the half of the episode that doesn't deal with that, sort of like the B plot.
The B plot of it. And then when the other episode comes in, I can write the A plot.
And it was a mess. It drove me crazy. Like, oh, it was one of the hardest times that I ever had writing a Wolf 359 episode. Just, I don't know, because I wasn't kind of, because the pieces were sort of coming together in sort of this like weird dissociative way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it didn't feel like I was building momentum. I think it felt like with every single time I was restarting the car from scratch.
Interesting.
Which is odd because it wasn't like I didn't know everything that was going to happen. I wasn't making it up. It had all been very thoroughly outlined at that point.
But it's not the same thing as reading, because the outline and the script are not the same thing.
No. Yes.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that is my big project for November. I'm going to be writing a novel that will hopefully be fit for human consumption sometime in the future. No promises on
when. Yeah.
On when.
Right.
But, yeah, that's the big thing. And it'll be really fun to kind of figure out how it's going to ping off of what Sarah is writing. And then we'll give both of those to Zach, and Zach
and
will yell at
fix
us.
Fix them.
Warming up my whip.
That's right.
So I guess I'm curious, like, what is some of the like most salient writing advice that you guys have gotten? Because I know there's probably a bunch of people listening to this that are also looking at doing NaNoWriMo or WriScrivember or just like writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like there's like a lot of writing happening in the next month. And so I guess for my sake, for, you know, the listener's sake, I'm curious.
Yeah, that's a good question, Zach. And of course, all the writing advice that is coming to my head right now all has to do with revision now. So I'm just kind of like, no, hang on a second. Let's talk about like starting it up earlier. You know, I think that a lot of the really, really good advice that I got tends to have to do with, you know, give yourself fuel, water the horses, and just sort of like take your time to replenish your energies as you write. And that can mean taking the time to make sure that you're eating properly, taking the time to make sure that you are getting enough sleep. Or it can mean go to that concert that starts at 2 a.m. from that band that you love, and that you're going to leave that concert at 4 a.m. and you're going to feel pumped, and you're going to feel energized, and you're going to feel just like ready to do something. I remember like 2 weeks ago, sometime like that, I had these 2 days where Sarah and I went to see Bad Times at the El Royale, which we both quite liked. And then the next morning, I got Lin-Manuel Miranda's new book and read it. And then in the afternoon, I got this other book, a graphic novel by this artist I quite love called Faith Erin Hicks. and I read that. And it was sort of just like that feeling of like, I'm experiencing three things that I think are great and awesome and cool and fantastic, all within 24 hours. By the end of that, I was like, let's go do another Time Bombs right now. Like, let's go write something. Let's go make something. Let's go put some stuff on tape and let's record it. Let's make it. Let's go right now.
I mean, I'm halfway through that last volume of the Faith Erin Hicks story. So we'll see. I hear that.
And yeah, and just sort of like give yourself those things. I think that for a lot of people, we think of as writing as this almost like ascetic practice of like you lock yourself in like a convent like space and you only feed yourself kind of like bread and water and you discipline yourself. You make yourself into a monk of writing. And for me, it's like get away from all that, unless that's what helps you. Unless you're one of those people where it's like, finally, like, you shut out everything.
That kind of helps me. That kind of helps me a lot.
That's when you're ready. I'm more of a, like, let it in. Let it all in kind of guy. And, like, let yourself look for the things that'll, you know, sort of get you ready and get you excited to write.
Yeah. And I think that is a very good words, they're hard. That concretizes the sort of advice that is coming to my mind, which is to be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
And that can mean going out and finding art that you love in the world and letting it inspire you, or, you know, not even just inspire you, just have fun. Making sure that you're, you know, the process of writing and the process of consuming great stories is as pleasurable as it can possibly be, because that will feed you in your work. And also, I think, you know, I had a very common NaNoWriMo experience of just like, I'm going to do it and I will write a novel and it will be a great novel, and then just failing miserably and being really hard on myself about the fact that like I stopped writing consistently after day three, and then I felt I needed to write 8,000 words in a day. That was a thing I tried to do.
This was me the first time I tried NaNoWriMo. It was bad.
It was bad. And giving yourself structure and accountability with other folks or with something like NaNoWriMo or Rice Cry Vember is great and helpful to a point. And making sure that you are always kind on yourself and seeing any page, any word, any situation that pops in your head that you write down on a note card or like in an email draft or whatever as a win and as a step forward, because it is, you know, it'll take however long it takes at the end. And their writing is a glorious thing that like, there isn't really a time limit on it. There's just your ability to do it. And so knowing that as long as you are moving, however meandering you're going on that process, means you're doing. And if you're doing it, then that's amazing. So yeah, be kind. That is the advice I think has both helped me the most and is something that I really have to keep in my mind because it's so hard to forget it.
I think it's so easy to beat ourselves up, I certainly can relate with that. And just like I definitely respond, I think, much better to like the ascetic, like putting myself in the monk-like state, but not like beating myself up for that. You know, just like I have an intentional style that is very easily distracted. And so like I don't see them at like, I think, however, whatever environment you write best in, being kind to yourself is like really important.
No, and I think that like really all kinds of advice, but especially writing advice, I think one of the important things to remember in my mind is travel light.
Yeah.
See what works for you and drop the rest.
Right.
Because if you try to do every single piece of writing advice that you possibly can,
you'll never
all
write
at the same
damn
time.
Thing. Yeah.
No.
Because so much of it is contradictory and so much of it sort of like pulls you away from what another thing tells you to do. And
right.
So much of it is at conflict with
right.
other ones. And it's not there for you to listen to all of it. It's there for you to kind of be able to have a shot at all of them and see what works for you.
Right. none of us are Stephen King, except for Stephen King.
Except for Stephen King. Yep.
Right. Well,
that's great.
And I think what I'm hearing is just this sort of, don't let anybody be an authority on your writing process.
Yes.
Like, you know.
No, be curious, look around, and then do what works for you.
Right.
Everybody has something to teach you. Mm-hmm. Only you have the ability to know what works for you.
Only you can find the truth within yourself.
Thank you. Yeah. Movie trailer voice Zach. So
got it in both segments now.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna maybe go do some writing, but check in as the month goes on. We'll be doing more episodes, and we'll be, and sometimes we'll just kind of be doing like fun little quick exercises.
But at least every couple of weeks, we'll check in and see how we're doing.
Yeah, we'll kind of give you updates. We'll give you sort of like the progress reports on all our different activities. Maybe answer some questions that people have. If people have questions, I've heard that sometimes they do.
I have so many questions.
And I guess if you do have questions, maybe the best place to send them would be Twitter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, find us on Twitter.
At Fear the Shame, which is sort of our collective group handle for this project, but then also individually.
Yep.
Those links will all be in the notes.
Indeed, indeed, indeed.
The mystical notes.
The mystical notes.
All right, so until next time, I've been Gabriel Urbina.
Sarah Shackett.
Wait, are you not going to be Gabrielle anymore?
Ah, who knows? We'll see.
Oh, fascinating. I am and will continue to be Zach Valenti.
Is that a promise, Valenti?
For the foreseeable future.
Don't write checks your butt cash.
I'm no longer Sarah Shackett. I'm someone else now.
Things happen,
the artist
Zach.
Formerly known as Sarah Shackett.
Plot twist. Future.
This has been No Bad Ideas. Produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks. See you next week.